Warning: this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to the most important hour in radio. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson. We are your embedded reporters in the War of the Worldviews. We are reporting from the front line in the battle for ethics. Kevin Swanson is not here, as you can tell. He's on a special mission, so I, Dave Buhner, Kevin's producer, will man the microphone, and the program will proceed as scheduled, because some things in life are just too important. And believe me, today's program is one of those things. So if you're on the way to the store, take your time. You don't want to miss this program. Today we are going to take a microscopic look at what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. Now, what's that you say? You already know right from wrong? You don't need some fill-in producer to tell you. Well, how do you know what is right or what is wrong? What method do you use to determine it? You might say, why, it's the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But soon that becomes, do to others before they do it to you. And of course, the new golden rule that everyone knows is whoever owns the gold makes the rule. It is survival of the fittest, or should society take care of the sick? See, Hitler's ethics were consistent with his evolutionary biology. Humans will advance if natural selection favors some genetic expressions while eliminating the less favorable ones. That is why Hitler started a eugenics program. He was just trying to speed up the evolutionary process. Do we find that repulsive, or don't we? It depends on our worldview. There are, in essence, only two paths one can derive their ethics from. They either come from within, an internal source, or they come from outside of yourself, an external source. If I suggest that we take all the homeless people we can find who are, you know, living off the system, who are not making a contribution to society, and let's round them up, and then let's harvest their organs so that we can use them for transplants, you know, put them into productive members of society, would you feel offended? Why? I mean, ostensibly, you're not a homeless derelict, so why are you offended? Maybe you weren't offended at all. A little sleight of hand is all it takes to pull the wool over one's moral vision. Just deny one's personhood, and then just do whatever you want. This has been a practice, has a long history. Why, do you remember ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny? That was the idea that in a mother's womb, a developing child isn't really a human being. Why, it goes through the stages of evolution. And so what you do with that fetus isn't what you're doing to a person. It's real easy to go from the evolutionary theory into killing children, isn't it? One might even say it is an article of faith that the fetus is a baby, but not see the need to defend that baby. After all, it has not achieved personhood. That is how they justified slavery. Sure, the Africans were human, but they were not persons. According to the evolutionists, they had not evolved as far as the white man, and so they had not achieved that magical status of personhood. That's how in Nazi Germany, they sent millions of non-persons to places like Auschwitz, where they would never return. Now, if some people are offended by some acts, and others are not offended by those same acts, how can we make laws that serve everybody? That is the dilemma we face. If there is no external standard, if ethics and morals are relative, if what's right for me is wrong for you, if each of us sets their own ethical standard, how can we have anything but moral chaos? So I ask you, is it a sin to live with someone prior to marriage? Or is it just another societal practice, a choice? If we look just to ourselves, we'll have no basis to resolve such a dilemma. Now, some have turned to Ayn Rand and her suggestion that we look not just our wants and our wishes, but our enlightened self-interest. Now, this humanistic approach takes a look at the consequences of both long-term and short-term factors, and then it makes decisions based on those results. But eventually, not even the enlightened self-interest can keep its practitioners restrained from evil if they can get away with it. Abraham Maslow, the psychologist, suggested that There are a few elites, and he called these people self-actualized, and they should be empowered to define morality for society. These self-actualized people have satisfied their lower needs and have accessed their inner goodness. Maslow himself seemed to have some special oracle such that he could identify these few moral self-actualized elites. Now, his ideas continue to live on. People look to the elites for social and moral guidance. The courts certainly have filled this role. As an elite committee, they are no longer interpreters of the law, but superior to the law. Now, this form of ethics is subject to the winds of change. As justices retire and new justices are appointed, even precedent cannot be insurance against the arbitrary moral guidance of these new justices, for they are not bound by such flimsy restraints as law or precedent. In order to truly have a way that society knows how to act, they need a standard of ethics, and that standard needs to apply equally to everyone, and that standard cannot change over time. That standard is external from men. It must be, in short, an absolute standard, one that comes to humankind from something morally superior to humans, something that has a track record of restraining evil and prospering those who adhere to it. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison thought that that standard could only be derived from the God of the Bible. When the U.S. Supreme Court declared in the 60s that this was a secular country, illegitimate birth rates skyrocketed. Illiteracy and crime rates increased sharply. The divorce rate went from rare to normal. A coincidence? I think not. It is really simple. If you plant corn seeds, you expect to get corn plants. If you plant godlessness, you should expect godless behavior. And that is exactly what we see today. But the time we live in offers many ethical challenges. Will we soon clone humans? Will they be persons or non-persons? Is it okay to take human life and destroy it? To advance the species? To advance science? My guest today is Dr. John Wilkie, and he's going to shed some much-needed light on these, the hottest topics today. In fact, the hottest moral debate today, stem cell research. Is it a miracle cure or a moral outrage? Dr. John Wilkie is going to speak about that. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back on Generations right after this.
Christian families have not escaped the rapid increases in healthcare costs. They are looking for solutions. Does the Bible provide any answers to the problems that plague our healthcare system? There are a growing number of Christian families who have joined together through Samaritan Ministries. They are helping one another directly with medical needs, one Christian household to another. Every month, there are more than 10,000 households who pray with one another, send notes of care and encouragement, and give a monthly share to help with other members' needs. They are sharing nearly $1.5 million in needs every month, yet the monthly share is only $195, even less for couples and singles. Christians need to take the lead in demonstrating to others that the Bible really does have the answers, including health care. If you would like to know more about a movement of caring, committed believers, call Samaritan Ministries at 1-888-2 and the word others, or visit the website at www.samaritanministries.org.
The reason I bring my family to Reformation Church is because of the strong preaching of the Word. Every week is and has been very insightful into the depths and riches of God's Word. I'm actually challenged again to grow deeper in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Reformation is also a body of believers who are warm, loving, and committed to the truth and to one another. It's a unique body of people who are very willing to stand up for their convictions. A group where the men of the congregation are actually leading their families, not perfectly, but truly are giving their best efforts to be true to what God has called them to as men. The elders are loving and care about the people and show their love in many ways.
Thanks, Tim. Reformation Church in Castle Rock meets at Douglas County High School on Front Street at 10:30 a.m. Sundays, building strong families, a close community, and a generational reformation. Check us out at reformationchurch.com or call 303-648-9606.
Ladies Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Generations, the program on the front line of the War of the Worldviews. And we're speaking here about the hottest topic in the news today, stem cell research. And with me is our guest, Dr. John Wilkie. He is a physician, an author, a lecturer. He's a TV and radio personality. He's also an expert in human sexuality. Dr. Wilkie, welcome to Generations.
Happy to be here.
Now, Dr. Wilkie, just so some people get some background on you, you are a doctor of medicine. You practiced in Ohio for 40 years.
That's right.
And you are on the senior attending staff of Providence and Good Samaritan Hospitals.
That's it.
Were you a general practitioner, or what was your area of medicine?
Mostly obstetrics. I did some family practice also. I'm a physician 56 years, so I'm pretty old.
Well, we like to call that wise. Now, Dr. Wilkie, the reason we have you here is because you've written extensively on stem cell research, and that just seems now to be the hottest topic in society. We see it on the news. We see it in political ads. But most people are saying, what are stem cells, and what does this research entail? Can you tell us, what exactly are we talking about when we talk about stem cells?
Well, stem cells are very primitive cells. If you look at them under a microscope, you can't tell them from much of other cells. But they are the cells from which all of our body organs will grow. So in the very few days, early days of our lives, when we're still a very tiny embryo, we have stem cells that will later on turn into kidneys and heart and other things. We also then have stem cells all of our lives. Umbilical cord blood, when a baby is delivered, has millions of stem cells in it. Your bone marrow and mine have stem cells. The pulp of baby teeth have stem cells. We can find them in skin. You see, any one of our body's organs continues to regenerate itself as its old cells die off, and so these stem cells produce new ones again. Now, there's two kinds of stem cells, and that's at the core of the controversy that we're hearing about and some very wild and totally medically inaccurate stuff that we've been hearing, particularly from the Democrat candidates. They're telling us that embryonic stem cells can cure anything from falling hair to flat feet, and that they will cure Alzheimer's, and there isn't a single legitimate medical authority in the world today who thinks that can happen, that they'll cure diabetes and all kinds of stuff. So understand this. We have to separate the two kinds. All right, let's start with the embryonic kind as opposed to non-embryonic or adult stem cells.
So embryonic is the cells taken from the very beginnings of life, a fertilized egg?
Well, let's just review the first week of life so we know where this sits. When sperm joins ovum, we have a fertilized egg, a human cell. At the end of the first day, cell division occurs. That first cell now is the entire human body who you and I once were. In that first cell stage, you were alive, you weren't dead, you were starting to grow and programming your own growth from within the planning DNA within your own cell. Okay, your cell division occurs on day, end of the first day. On the fifth day of our lives, when we then, through cell division, there are several hundred cells, if we take you as a tiny 5-day-old human embryo, cut you open, that kills you, and from the inside, we can find embryonic stem cells. Now, that's how you get embryonic stem cells. You kill a 5-day-old human in order to get them. Now, let's switch to adult stem cells.
Okay.
We find them in umbilical cord blood. We find them in bone marrow and the other places I have mentioned. To get them, we don't have to kill anybody. This is very ethical. Which ones are doing us any good? Because there's a tremendous amount of research either going on now or they want to do it. Adult stem cells, let me give you just a couple of ideas here.
Okay.
They have taken, first of all, we get the adult stem cell from you. We culture the cell so that more of them grow, and then we put it back into you. We give you your own cells back. In the embryonic stem cells, we're taking another living human who has a different DNA and forming, hopefully, some organ cells, and then putting them in you. Now, immediately, you might have a couple of lights go on here, because we know that if we put a kidney in you, that you will try, your body will try to reject that kidney. It's different tissue. The same is true with embryonic stem cells. They have a different DNA. So that's one strike against them. If the mother or father of that embryo who you have just killed had an infection, let's say they had AIDS, take a worst case. Now we give you those embryonic stem cells, you get AIDS. It can carry infection. There's one other strike against embryonic stem cells, and that is that we don't yet know how to control their growth. So if we put them into, let's say, your heart wall to help you with a heart attack, they're liable to form skin cells, bone cells, kidney cells, and form a tumor. We learned this a few years ago when they used these to put into a man's brain. He had Parkinsonism. Their hope was that it would produce the cells in the brain that would help the Parkinsonism. Well, he died a year later of a brain tumor. And it turned out that the cells that they had put into his brain had grown wild, and they got skin, cartilage, bone, kidney, and a couple of other kinds of cells that formed a tumor in his brain and killed him. So you see, embryonic stem cells have real problems, and because of this, there are no clinical trials going on right now with embryonic stem cells.
Okay, Dr. Wilkie, hold that thought. I want to come back to that point right after we take this break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Generations. It is the program that doesn't seek to be fair and balanced. We aim for truth and rightness. And we will be right back after this commercial message with Dr. John Wilkie.
Driver education and training gets an F, says the Good Housekeeping magazine in March 2003. Insurance Institute for Highway Safety reports driver education and training could increase the chances of a fatal crash with your teenager. Why is this? What's going wrong here? Why are parents not paying attention to these vital statistics? The problem is not within the teenager, but within the training process. If you separate the classroom from the practical, you are setting yourself and your teenager up for failure. University studies have proven that the National Driver Training Institute program works and will drastically reduce the chance of teenage crashes and fatalities. National Driver Training Institute's program, Help for the Teenager Who Wants to Drive, is a Colorado-approved graduated driver licensing program that will work for you and your family. Call the National Drivers Training Institute and give your new teen driver education and the training they deserve. The program costs start at $155, and it's recognized by every insurance company in Colorado. Call 266-4700 in the Springs. Outside the Springs, call 1-800-942-2050. Or go online, nationaldrivertraining.com.
Are you tired of the public school rat race? Tired of an education system that isn't cutting it for your family? Maybe the right private school is too expensive for you. Join the growing ranks of 2 million Americans that are homeschooled across the nation. Homeschooled children average in the 70th to 90th percentile in math, reading, and language, 25 percentile points higher than the average public school student. Did you know that you can get started homeschooling for as low as $159? Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents the Deluxe Starter Kit. This includes a video, three cassettes, a huge 365-page manual on how to homeschool, and listen to this, a full year's curriculum package. We'll throw in an introductory workshop. You'll find other similar packages for $299 with this offer. You can homeschool for $159 with the first grade package. It's only $159. Think about it. For the price of a pair of tennis shoes and school clothes, you can homeschool yourself for $159. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's homeschool for $159 at kevinswanson.com. Or call check at 720-842-4852. That's 720-842-4852.
Thank you.
We're on a quest to save the West from the bad ideas that are promulgating all over society. With us today on Generations is Dr. John Wilkie. I am your guest host, Dave Buhner. I'm the producer of this program, so I'm a little familiar with how things work, but we're having a fascinating conversation with Dr. John Wilkie about stem cell research. Now, Dr. Wilkie, when we went for the break, you were speaking about the dangers of using embryonic stem cells, that they have produced less than favorable results. And you were saying that the research in that area is basically not happening anymore because of that. Is that correct?
Yes, whereas research for adult stem cells is blazing away. We have had a report from the National Institute of Health recently, which told us that there are 330 clinical trials ongoing using adult stem cells treating 74 different diseases. So we asked them, well, how many embryonic stem cell clinical trials do you have going? And they said, none.
So that would be 300 to nothing.
Yeah. And so the reason is that the adult stem cells don't have the problems the embryonic ones do. You're not going to reject them because they've come from your own body. You're not going to get an infection because it came from your own body. And they don't form tumors. They simply don't do that. The embryonic stem cells do. So, but you see, there's a real problem out here now. Scientists want to experiment, and they say that there is much more potential on these embryonic cells than we have been able to discover so far.
Now, how do they arrive at that conclusion that there's potential?
They're just dreaming.
So they're just making it up?
Yeah. They think that there's a lot more there that they don't know, and they're willing to experiment over the dead bodies of these tiny new human embryos. And we say, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't kill one human in the hope that you may someday help another. All right, let's look at money going into this. There's no private capital going into embryonic stem cell research. None. The reason is they don't think there's any future. But the scientists, the universities, want to do that research. So they have gotten in league with the biotech companies and have had a massive, and they've converted Nancy Reagan, and they've got the Democrat presidential candidates on their side. And they're saying, and making all kinds of claims for these things, so that they can get your tax money to pay for embryonic stem cell research. And the reason is, no private money is going to go into it because there doesn't seem to be any future.
So, just so I'm clear here, there's no law prohibiting embryonic stem cell research.
No laws at all. You can do it. So, you just have to use your own money or your own university's money.
So the debate is who's gonna pay the bills.
That's it. When you get into major research projects, you almost have to have government money because the private money, the university money, there isn't that much of it.
Well, give me an idea. How much money are we talking about here? Are we talking millions, billions, trillions?
Millions of dollars. So they're wasting money probably going into embryonic stuff. If that were turned around and used for non-embryonic or adult stem cells, we'd probably... Well, let me give you a cure. Senator Brownback recently had a press conference in Washington. At the press conference, he introduced two young ladies who had had accidents and had their spinal cords severed. They were quadriplegic, paralyzed in all four limbs. Their own adult stem cells were injected into the area of the spine that had been broken. And these two girls were walking with braces.
It repaired the spinal cord break?
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
Now that's earth-shaking. That's amazing. And yet, Stephen, who was it, the movie actor who just died?
Christopher Reeves.
He was campaigning for embryonic stem cells. He should have campaigned for these.
Well, since this is mostly a funding issue, and we have a billionaire running for president, we have Michael J. Fox, who came here from Canada, made many, many millions of dollars in the American system. Why aren't they privately funding some research as opposed to trying to take it out of the back pocket of taxpayers. Is it not practical?
That's a good idea. If you know the answer, tell me.
Well, I just think they're pretty generous with other people's money.
Well, that tends to be a pattern, you know.
One of the points you said earlier is you said the stem cells can come from the umbilical cord. But
right.
You called those adult stem cells?
We call those adult, although they're really baby stem cells, but they go under the name adult stem cells.
And those are used just for research, or are they used then to treat the adult that baby would grow into?
They're sort of in between the embryonic cells and the ones that we'd get, say, from your bone marrow. But the reason they're being used is that they're so plentiful. And a totally ethical way of getting them in the first place.
I remember when we had our last child, they asked us if we wanted to donate the umbilical cord so the blood could be used for research. And I guess this is the research they're speaking of.
I think so.
Okay, now, an adult stem cells, you say you take it out of your own body. Now, if I have a disease like Parkinson's or something, why isn't that disease reintroduced when I get my own cells back?
Well, Parkinson's isn't an infection. You see, if you get pneumonia, you've had a bacterial or you've had a virus infection, and a virus, a bacteria, is another living organism which infects, sets up housekeeping inside of your body and does you some harm. A stem cell is your own body's cells. Let's say we get them from your bone marrow. We, in the laboratory, they culture them. Now, what they mean by that is that they take these cells and put them in a nutrient broth, keep them at the right temperature, do some other correct things with them, and these cells, one will divide into two, and the next two will divide into four. And that's what we mean by culturing. So what you start with, well, let's just say you start with 10 cells, now you have 100 cells, now you have 1,000 cells. Now you've got a bunch of them, so you inject these back into, in one case, let's say your pancreas, which is the one that gives you the diabetes, or inject into, and let me give you another one. Here's a man with a heart attack, and the one wall of his heart was almost paper thin because the muscle had been destroyed. They took his adult stem cells and injected them into that paper-thin wall of his heart. These cells took root and formed muscle, and his heart became stronger because of this. Okay, that's an adult stem cell trial, which showed here, again, almost spectacular results. So there's a lot happening. I'd say every 2-3, certainly every 4 weeks, I get another research report across my desk of some kind of success of this nature. Now, when they start to do this, let's say they did this on a mouse for diabetes, well, now you have to repeat it, now you have to learn how to do it, and now you're probably going to try it in a monkey, and then if it works there, then you're going to try it in humans. All of this takes some time. It usually takes some years, but it's roaring ahead at this point, and I think the future for adult stem cells, for embryonic, the adult ones, is very rosy, whereas at the moment, we really don't see any future for embryonic stem cells.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Dr. John Wilkie about stem cell research. We're going to be right back with him right after we pause to visit with our sponsors. Please don't go away. You don't want to miss the rest of this program. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here. There's a principle that has never let me down. I do business with the people I believe in. And that's why I go with George Sechrist Insurance for all my insurance needs. George is a man of honesty, integrity, and service. George will go the extra mile for you. I've seen him give up himself sacrificially for the needs of others. You can count on George. Auto, life, home, call George at George Sechrist Insurance, 303-979-1288. That's 303-979-1288.
Not sure you have what it takes to teach your children? You need to check out Christian Cottage Homeschool Services at christiancottage.com. They have been helping parents succeed in the education of their children with every kind of learning style and ability since 1987. If your child is gifted, talented, Christian Cottage can design a program to suit both you and your child. If your child has learning challenges, Christian Cottage can help you achieve the best year ever. Check them out at christiancottage.com or call 303-688-6626.
Christian families have not escaped the rapid increases in healthcare costs. They are looking for solutions. Does the Bible provide any answers to the problems that plague our healthcare system? There are a growing number of Christian families who have joined together through Samaritan Ministries. They are helping one another directly with medical needs, one Christian household to another. Every month, there are more than 10,000 households who pray with one another, send notes of care and encouragement, and give a monthly share to help with other members' needs. They are sharing nearly $1.5 million in needs every month, yet the monthly share is only $195, even less for couples and singles. Christians need to take the lead in demonstrating to others that the Bible really does have the answers, including health care. If you would like to know more about a movement of caring, committed believers, call Samaritan Ministries at 1-888-2 and the word others, or visit the website at www.samaritanministries.org.
You're listening to Generations, and we are just blessed greatly here having such an expert talk to us about stem cell research, Dr. John Wilkie. There has been so much said lately, and it turns out that so much of it has been said wrong. We're here talking about the promise that adult stem cell research has shown and the failure of embryonic stem cell research. Just before we left for break, Dr. Wilkie, you were talking about the amazing successes that were happening with adult stem cell research. In fact, you said that it's almost like every 4 weeks that some major breakthrough occurs with these adult stem cells.
That's right. We're hearing promises from both Senators Kerry and Edwards that would sound like it's going to happen tomorrow if only we lift the ban on embryonic stem cell research. Sorry, that's just flatly false. There is no ban on embryonic stem cell research. Anyone who wants to can do anything they want to. So it's still wide open. There are no regulations on it at all. As a matter of fact, Bush has thrown quite a few millions of dollars at embryonic stem cell research. What he did say was this. He didn't think we should kill some new humans to get these cells. But there are some of these cells out there, and they were obtained by killing embryos, but the fact is they're out there. So he made what I think was a political compromise, and he said, we will fund you to do experiments on the ones that are out there, but I don't want you to kill any more new humans.
At least not with tax money.
Whereas there's a lot of money going into adult stem cell research. And the reason is this is what you call venture capital. There is venture capital going into adult stem cell, a lot of it. And there's no restrictions on that at all either. Whereas venture capital is not going into embryonic stem cell research because the people who have money, who would like to make more money, have decided that there's no future in it. But, however, they'll take your tax money, as we have mentioned.
Okay, now, some of the research that I've seen is that adult stem cells have been used to treat fatal skin disorders, Crohn's patients who have an immune system problem, and they've had some success there. I've even read that there's one laser eye center that's using stem cells to improve eyesight.
That's right.
And I've even heard stroke victims that stem cells are being used and they're producing movement and other recovery, at least in mice who have suffered strokes. What are the limits of this?
We don't think there are many limits on this thing. Everything you've mentioned is going on right now. It's very early in experimental, in the sequence of experiment. However, they are all adult stem cells. None of these are embryonic stem cells.
It seems to me they could make a whole lot of money if they could just cure male baldness, just by the ads I see.
Okay, let's do that, but let's concentrate on diabetes, let's concentrate on Parkinsonism, and some of the other diseases. And, however, let me mention what I did a minute ago. There is no cure on the horizon with stem cells for Alzheimer's disease, none.
So that one is eluding us still.
Yeah, well, you see, take diabetes, for instance. There's a single cell, it's called an islet of Langerhans, which produces insulin, which you need, otherwise you have diabetes. Okay, most of these others, treating a heart muscle, heart cell, treating a spinal cord injury, neural cell, treating Alzheimer's, sorry, there's a whole bunch of cells involved, and because it's a multiple disease, we are being told by the experts that there is almost no chance that stem cells of any kind will ever help Alzheimer's.
We're going to have to look somewhere else to cure that disease.
That's for sure, yeah.
How about cancers? Are cancers a potential problem we can cure with stem cells?
There's no research in that direction yet at all.
It seems if you're going to take cells from your body that have all the information for all the organs and you start culturing them, as you said, some people are going to want to go ahead and culture the whole human being. I think that's called cloning, isn't it?
Well, that's a little bit different, but you see, because the embryonic stem cells don't work too well, don't work at all, and they do want these very primitive cells, they're going to be moving into cloning. What is a clone? Well, let's just say you want to clone an identical twin brother. How do you do that? You take an unfertilized, ripe ovum, an egg, from a woman. You remove and discard its nucleus. Now you take a skin cell from yourself. You remove its nucleus. Insert your nucleus into the empty shell of the egg. Give it a few tiny jolts of electricity. Say some prayers and get some good luck. And all of a sudden, this new fertilized egg will start to grow and develop like any natural fertilized egg. Now, if at 1 week of life this new human is planted in a woman's womb, and if all goes well, in 9 months she'll deliver your own identical twin brother. Now, that's very theory. It has never happened yet. But that is basically what a clone is. So a clone isn't the DNA of two different people, but the DNA of only one other person plus yourself. So that says that you then, having an identical twin brother, could in due course, one of your kidneys, your kidneys go bad. You could take one of his kidneys and plant it in you, and you would not reject it because he's your identical twin. So this is all theory. But that's where it's at right now. Humans have never been cloned. Okay, they didn't think mammals could ever be cloned until about, 5 or 6 years ago, when all of a sudden we had Dolly the sheep. Dolly the sheep is a mammal. She was cloned. What people don't know is that there were 300 failures before she was delivered. And some of these had grown rather grotesquely. Another head coming out of a shoulder and stuff like that. And finally, after 300 tries, they did get a sheep who looked and acted very normal, but then she became very aged very quick. She developed old age arthritis and chronic lung disease when she was only 3 years old, and they had to put her away. So even Dolly was not a normal animal. So because, now let's try it in mice, let's try it in another animal, a dog or cat, and all kinds of deformities have happened. So they say, well, okay, we're going to clone a human someday, and they're trying, but we're not going to plant him or her in the womb and take him or her to delivery because, well, we might have all these abnormalities. Therefore, we won't clone for reproductive purposes. why clone then? They want to clone a human, grow him or her until they're 2 or 3 weeks old, experiment on them, and then kill them.
So they're just growing them to experiment for experimentation?
Purely for experimental purposes.
We have gone into an ethical morass. We're into an area that I never thought we'd be in our lifetime. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be right back with Dr. John Wilkie in this last segment. Don't want to miss. This is Generation, the program that looks forward, not backward. The program that offers hope in a world of ethical confusion. Please stay tuned.
Are you tired of the public school rat race? Tired of an education system that isn't cutting it for your family? Maybe the right private school is too expensive for you. Join the growing ranks of 2 million Americans that are homeschooled across the nation. Homeschooled children average the 70th to 90th percentile in math, reading, and language, 25 percentile points higher than the average public school student. Did you know that you can get started homeschooling for as low as $159? Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents the Deluxe Starter Kit. This includes a video, 3 cassettes, a huge 365-page manual on how to homeschool, and listen to this, a full year's curriculum package. We'll throw in an introductory workshop. You'll find other similar packages for $299 with this offer. You can homeschool for $159 with the first grade package. It's only $159. Think about it. For the price of a pair of tennis shoes and school clothes, you can homeschool yourself for $159. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's homeschool for $159 at kevinswanson.com. Or call check at 720-842-4852. That's 720-842-4852.
People are surprised to discover that my family and I drive an hour and a half to Reformation Church. I must confess, 3 years ago when a friend encouraged us to visit Reformation, my thoughts were, a 2-hour drive to church? I don't think so. But because of our friendship, I was willing to make the trip one time. Well, we have been making that drive ever since. You may be thinking, why would anyone drive that far to attend a church? The members of Reformation take their walk with the Lord seriously. They actively encourage one another, building up one another in the faith, and helping to carry each other's burdens. The brothers and sisters at Reformation truly care for one another. But this is not the main reason we attend Reformation. It is only the icing on the cake. The main reason we attend Reformation is because of the centrality of the Word in our worship of the Triune God. His Word is preached with power and authority. At Reformation, we worship the living God, who is mighty and powerful, full of mercy and grace.
Reformation Church in Castle Rock meets at Douglas County High School on Front Street at 10:30 a.m. Sundays. Check us out at reformationchurch.com or call 303-648-9606. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm visiting here with Jeff McKinney from McKinney Motors.
One thing that I very much suggest is that they will go and let us show them some factory program vehicles. In many cases, you can save 50% in 1 year. 1 year! Cars that sold new for $25,000, a year later we were able to get them for $12,900 with 18,000 miles on them, with full factory warranty up to 3 years, 36,000 miles for half price. We do it all the time.
Jeff, my average car buying experience in the past takes 4 hours to close this thing, lots of back and forth. How does your experience differ?
Well, at McKinney Motors, we try to make the car buying experience very simple and basic, and we don't do the back and forth. We tell you what the car is going to cost you. We're very fair with our pricing. And from A to Z, it takes about 20 minutes to buy a car from McKinney Motors.
That's McKinneyMotors.com or call 303-660-0303. Call him, tell him what you want, and he will do the work for you. Contact McKinneyMotors.com. That's 303-660-0303.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Generations, your beacon of light through the moral morass that is our society today. We're trying to find clarity in a world of relativism, where our science has exceeded our wisdom. And we're speaking with Dr. John Wilkie. And right before we went to break, we were talking about cloning and some people's wish to clone people, humans, perhaps non-persons, but humans, for experimentation. Dr. Wilkie, how long will it be, do you think, before some will want to clone human beings Oh, for less than desirable work tasks as a cheap workforce.
Well, there's some people working on it right now. And, of course, when we are told that they're cloning them just to kill them, that doesn't go over very well. So what they've done has tried language manipulation. And they say there's two kinds of cloning. There isn't. There's just one. But they speak of reproductive cloning, and that is that you'd clone a human and then carry him to term and deliver. And they understand there's so many problems there that they say, no, we'll never do that. But then they talk about therapeutic cloning. Now, that's a lie. Therapy is treatment. And this is not treatment. President Bush calls it research cloning. That's a much more accurate term. But since we only clone to allow that human to live for 2 or 3 weeks, then we experiment on him or her and kill him, we have a better term for it yet. We call it clone and kill. And what we would like to have happen is that the Congress would pass a bill to simply forbid human cloning.
But is that going to work? Are we going to be able to keep a lid on Pandora's box? I mean, won't that research just happen somewhere else?
It's going to happen in overseas countries. It's interesting that Germany has said absolutely no. We went through human experimentation 50 years ago. On the other hand, England has just approved attempts to human clone. Different countries are going in different directions on this, but nobody's ever done it yet.
Okay.
And we could forbid human cloning, and we hope that may happen. It certainly wouldn't happen under Kerry. He'd approve it, but it could happen under Bush.
Now, Dr. Wilkie, there is so much here that is interesting and fascinating and things that we frankly need to be informed about. How can people get in touch? How can they get more information?
Well, let me suggest a very simple way. I have a pamphlet out that discusses a lot of what I've just been talking about it. Let's just call it a stem cell pamphlet. And if you email me, I'll send you one free. My email is info@lifeissues.org. That's info at lifeissues, LIFEISSUES .org. info@lifeissues.org. And if you ask me for the pamphlet on stem cells, we'll send you one. No charge.
So all they have to do is email.
That's right.
issues@lifeinfo.org, and they'll get a pamphlet, and that'll help them understand what's at the current crux of the debate here about stem cells and cloning. And is there other issues on the horizon we need to be watching out for?
Well, within that first week of life, we have the stem cell thing, the cloning thing, and the other is emergency contraception, and we treat that in the pamphlet also.
Okay, that's a new term to me, so I guess I'll have to get the pamphlet and learn.
Well, that's what you give a woman who's had sex last night and then takes the pills tomorrow to prevent her from getting pregnant. And they call that emergency contraception, which it isn't at all. It's an emergency microabortion. Now, particularly if you're listening and know anybody in California, get one of these to them because they've got it on the ballot in November.
Ladies and gentlemen, the question is, are you fearfully and wonderfully made, or are you the product of chance through billions of years of evolution? How you answer that question will determine the direction you see society going or the direction you want to take. If we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we serve a higher purpose than just ourselves. Research is to serve our Maker. Dr. John Wilkie, thank you for joining us on Generations. God bless you in the work you do.
Just let me say amen to what you've just said.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Generations. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Christian Cottage Schools believes in empowering parents to educate their children. They provide one-on-one testing. They will develop an individualized personal curriculum program for your child. For those who need special help with visual or auditory processing, Christian Cottage provides special programs to help your children succeed in their education. The mission of Christian Cottage Schools is to mentor parents as they exercise their God-given right to control and direct their children's education. Visit ChristianCottage.com or call 303-688-6626.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here. There's a principle that has never let me down. I do business with the people I believe in. And that's why I go with George Sechrist Insurance for all my insurance needs. George is a man of honesty, integrity, and service. George will go the extra mile for you. I've seen him give up himself sacrificially for the needs of others. You can count on George. Auto, life, home, call George at George Sechrist Insurance, 303-979-1288. That's 303-979-1288.
How do we reestablish relationships between children and parents in a day when parents have become obsolete? What is your family's faith going to look like in 20 years? Will your future generations make a lasting impact? We're going to celebrate family. We're going to give you a vision for family at the First Family Day in Colorado Springs on Saturday, October 30th. Our keynote speakers, Richard Little Bear Wheeler and Jeff Myers, will give uplifting, dramatic, and motivating presentations for the whole family, for young and old alike. Don't miss Family Day, sponsored by Christian Home Educators of Colorado. Enjoy fellowship and family entertainment, and shop for quality family books and resources. That's Saturday, October 30th at the New Life Church in Colorado Springs. Call 720-842-4852 or visit chec.org on the web. That's 720-842-4852.
Oh, why did I put it off? I should have made an appointment.
This winter, don't get left in the cold. Get your car winterized at Academy Car Care and Repair. Academy Car Care and Repair's ASC-certified mechanics can work on all vehicles. Call Academy Car Care and Repair today before you really need them. 573-5973. That's 573-5973. Academy Car Care and Repair at Academy and LaSalle.
Wow, what a program. Dr. John Wilkie not only teaching us everything we didn't remember from human biology, but stuff that hasn't been known until just recently. The ethics that surround medical research are not going away anytime soon. But how are we going to be able to decide ethics if we don't have an ethical base? You know, there was one company that put an ethical question on their employment application. And they gave this to over 200 applicants, and most of them had trouble coming up with what they considered the correct answer. Now, here's the question. You're driving along in your car on a wild, stormy night when you pass a bus stop, and you see there are three people waiting for the bus. First, an old lady who looks as if she is about to die. Second, an old friend who once saved your life. And third, a woman who you believe might be your future wife, your perfect partner. Now, which one do you choose to offer a ride to, knowing that there could only be one passenger in your car? And you see, this is a dilemma, because you could choose to save the old lady. You could choose to repay your friend the favor of saving your life. Or, of course, you could see if this is, in fact, your perfect partner. Now, out of 200 applicants, only one came up with the right answer. And what do you think that is? The one who was hired said this: I would give my car keys to my old friend, let him take the lady to the hospital. I would stay behind and wait for the bus with the partner of my dreams. It pays to think out of the box. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Generations. Kevin Swanson will be back next week. Have a great week. Take care.
Generations is produced by Christian Home Educators of Colorado, together with our fine business partners, George Sechrist Insurance, McKinney Motors, Christian Cottage Schools, Christian Liberty Academy, and Reformation Church in Castle Rock. Executive producer is Dave Buhner. You will find the products and services mentioned on this program at kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. Join us again next week as we continue to build for a new generation, for heaven's sake.